Right, 1 John chapter 2, would you stand with me for a moment? I want to begin reading in verse number 18. And all I know to do is just to give you what God has put in my heart.
Amen.
And I don't know, sometimes you know, don't know what people are looking for, expecting, but I believe y'all are expecting to hear from God,
yeah,
from the Word of God, and whatever the Lord sends through His men, I know that y'all will be appreciative of that, and I just want to be a help to you, and that's our heart's desire. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. And that explains why you have a lot of church turnover. Sometimes folk leave because they never were in. Amen. And he said, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. Now watch that. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated, and may the Lord add His blessings to the reading of the good Word of God. I want to draw your attention to verse number 18, and I want to use this text or this verse tonight as a starting place and try to give you what's in my heart. And I know just by my subject, and I know from the things that I need to deal with, it may appear to some of you that this is scattered, and it may be. But nevertheless, I hope that I can pull these thoughts as they are in my mind and in my heart together in such a way that you will lay hold of them. Now, we're living in times like I have never seen before, and I know you haven't as well. I started preaching in 1975, and I've never seen the extent and the level of stuff that we're witnessing today, not only in politics and in the world, but in the church world. And so it is unprecedented as far as our modern lifetime is concerning. And a burden that I have tonight is to help you to understand a little bit more about why we're seeing what we are seeing. And I want to do it looking primarily in three areas, and my message tonight is the demonic activity in these last days. And I want to focus on three areas that I believe that there is a more intense effort by the devil and his cohorts, the demons. I believe that there is an intensified effort in three areas that you and I are witnessing today. And what I believe I can show you from the Scripture is that this is a part of prophecy. And I didn't come to deal with prophecy. And really the message tonight is not necessarily prophecy, but it's dealing with that subject on this demonic activity in the last days. And so I want us to look. I want you to begin with me in verse number 18. And We'll honor the time and give room for Brother Jones. We certainly want to get out of the way. I love to hear this man preach. God has always challenged me and helped me every time, and I'm looking forward to these services. But he said in verse number 18, little children, it is the last time. And he was saying that 2,000 years ago. And we know that according to Hebrews chapter number 1, technically speaking, we have been in the last days since the days of Jesus. But John is saying, little children, it is the last time. So there are four things, if you're a note taker, there are four things that verse number 18 is saying to us, and I'm going to mention this very quickly as a foundation. Number one, he is saying to us in this verse that the Antichrist singular shall come. Look what he said. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. I believe he's talking about the man of sin, the son of perdition. Amen. I believe that's who he's talking about. The beast of the book of Revelation. So he is saying that Antichrist shall come. And we believe that to be future. And then the second thing that he's saying here is that, and he said here, even now as there are many Antichrists, that's in the plural. So not only will the Antichrist singular in the future come, but John is saying, even right now, and this was 2,000 years ago, and I think it's more so today than it was even in John's day. Even now are there many Antichrists. So number one, Antichrist shall come. Number two, now there are many Antichrists. And then the third thing we learn from this verse is that he said in verse number 18, whereby we know that it is the last time. So what he is saying is that by the activity of the Antichrist, by the activity of the spirit of Antichrist, we know that it is the last time. So what John was associating, he was associating the last days with the work of the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. And so that's what we're going to look at. And then I want you to notice the fourth thing that we can pull from this verse is that there is a twofold plan of the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, and it is implied by that prefix that is on the word Christ, the prefix anti. And that word anti, it means to be against or to rebel. In other words, if you take an antibiotic, you're taking a medication that is to fight against the infection. So that word anti is implying to be against. And so this Antichrist, the spirit of Christ, it is an Antichrist because it is in rebellion to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is against Christ. And then also that Greek prefix, it also implies to substitute. And so we know that the devil, he is working against the things of God, and he is interested in the substitution of the things of God. If you take and go back to the book of Genesis in chapter number 3, you'll find out that the devil, when he approached Eve, he was against God, but what was he doing? He was substituting what God said. He wasn't just causing her to doubt what God said, but he was substituting what, you're not going to die. That's what he said. So he was making a substitution. So that kind of gets us in the vein of what I want you to look at. Look in chapter number 4, and we'll see then that the spirit of Antichrist is more than just that one man that will be revealed after the church is taken out. He said in chapter 4 in verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, plural, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So in this one statement, he is identifying these spirits, which is in the demonic realm. He's identifying them with the false prophets that we would see as flesh and blood wearing a suit and a tie with a Bible under their hand. Are you following me now? So there's an identification with these false spirits, these evil spirits working through these false prophets. He said, and here's the test that you'll know them by. Whereby know ye the Spirit, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that and you see, John was fighting the false doctrine in his day. They were denying that Jesus was God. They could not deny that he existed, but they were denying that he was God in the flesh. And so John is fighting that false doctrine. And he said, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. So he's associating not only of the spirit of Antichrist with the people, the false prophets in verse number 1, but he's also identifying the false, these evil spirits with false doctrine in verse number 3. And so I hope you see what we're trying to do right there, that there is an identification here. I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation. Let's go to the book of Revelation. And I'm going to show you three areas in the tribulation period. This ain't prophecy now, okay? I ain't preaching prophecy. But I want to show you three areas during the tribulation period that the Antichrist, the devil, and these demonic spirits that they are intensifying, and that work has already begun in 2022. Amen. This is not just going to click on like a light overnight, but you'll see the pattern. That's what I'm after. You'll see the pattern of this. You say, preacher, what has all this got to do with the spirit of revival and the spirit of encouragement? Because it helps us to understand that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood. Our problem is not just a political party, even though that is a problem, but we've got a greater problem, and it is on a spiritual plane. Amen. We're fighting against the workings of the devil and the demonic forces that are out there. And when we can identify the enemy and identify his tactics, then it helps us to understand a little bit about what's going on. I don't have the time, and I'm not going to take the time to delve into this in an extended form. So I'm just going to hit it and move on. Look in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter number 13. And I want you to look at this. Revelation 13. And the Bible said in verse number 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And of course that's talking about that revived Roman Empire. And in that same context, the beast is kindly a dual reference to not only the empire, but to the leader. But he said, and the dragon, and that's the devil, go back in chapter 12, that's the devil, and the dragon gave him his power and his seed and great authority. Look now, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now here's what I'm after. And they worshipped the dragon, that's the devil, they worshipped the devil, which gave power unto the beast. Now watch. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? Okay, now look at the false prophet in chapter number 13 as well. Look in verse number 15 at what it says about the false prophet. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not, what? Worship the image of the beast should be killed. So area number 1, this demonic activity in the last days, culminating even in the tribulation period, is in the realm of worship. I said it right. It's in the realm of worship. It's in the realm of worship. So this is why, listen to what the Bible said in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter number 3. Listen to what Paul wrote Timothy. I just want to read that to you. And again, this may seem scattered, but if you'll stay with me, I think God will help us to put this together. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," he's talking about the last days, "some shall depart from the faith." That word "departs," where we get our word apostasy from. "Some shall depart from the faith," doing what? "Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And he's associating that with the last days. So what I want you to understand tonight is the reason that we are seeing and have been seeing for years such a drastic shift in the realm of Christendom, in the realm of professed Christianity, not even counting all the cults and the isms that are out there. But the reason that we're seeing such a shift in the area of religion today is because it is part of the plan of the devil, part of the plan of the Antichrist. And as we approach those days to where he will be worshipped openly, then the spirit of Antichrist is preparing the way for him. Let me illustrate it like this. When Jesus was going to come into the world, what did the Bible say about it? That God sent the forerunner, John the Baptist, and he was the forerunner. He was to pave the way. He was to make the official introduction. And it was John that stood over at Jordan and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And so God sent a forerunner prior to the coming of the Son of Man to announce His coming and to prepare the way for His coming. If you look over on the trilogy of the devil's side, the devil and the Antichrist and the Spirit of Christ, I believe that the spirit of Antichrist is acting in these days that we're living in the last days of the church age. The spirit of Antichrist is making the introduction and paving the way for the appearing of the Antichrist, just like John Baptist did as the forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I believe that there is an intensification of demonic power and forces in the realm of religion and in the realm of worship, because that's what's going to happen during that awful period here on this earth. Let me say this, Brother Ed. The devil, this statement may take you by surprise. The devil is not interested in just closing those doors. He's not just interested, Brother Jones, in shutting the doors of our churches. But what the devil wants to do, he wants to see the doors stay open, but he wants to change what goes on up here. He wants to change what goes on back through there. In other words, the public worship is going to be a tool that the Antichrist uses. And the devil's going to, when the church is taken out, this ecumenical movement, amen, the idea that we all got to get along together in the name of love, drop our standards, drop our doctrine, drop our beliefs, and just come together. That ecumenical movement is going to be the false church, amen, after the true church is gone. But if I understand my Bible correctly, in Revelation chapter number 17, halfway through that tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to destroy the false church. He's going to set himself up as God and demand that all the world worship him. And so the devil has always used worship, and the devil has plans for worship. And so there is a working and intensification in causing doctrinal change and compromise. People can't get their Bible right anymore. Amen. Whatever. Hey, it's the King James Bible. Amen. Let me just go ahead and say that. But I'm telling you, neighbor, now watch what I'm saying. When you take the turn of the 20th century, what happened? In the 20th century in 1948, we saw the nation of Israel come back as a nation in their land. We witnessed that. We saw that, amen. We know that we're in the last days because of things like that happening. But also, as our nation come out of the 19th century and enter the 20th century, the floodgates opened up as well. jail for all the different versions of the Bible, all these perversions of the Bible. And so there was a tampering with truth. Everything during the 20th century, there's so many events that took place that show us that we're in the last days, and they are preparatory to the coming of the Antichrist and that tribulation period. Amen. So the devil is working in the area of worship. Let me say this. In the 19th century, coming out of Germany, the late 18th century and 19th century, coming out of Germany was this concept of higher criticism. They begin to say, well, the Bible doesn't mean that. They begin to teach, well, that's not really. They begin to doubt this and to doubt that. A lot of that stuff started in Germany. You follow me right here now. It started in Germany. In other words, their first began to be an apostasy. There was an apostate movement in Germany away from the things of God. And that happened in the 19th century. And look what it bred in the 20th century when Hitler came along. You follow what I'm saying? You show me a society where they go wrong in their religion, and they'll eventually go wrong in their politics, and they'll eventually go wrong in their society around that. It crumbles. It comes to pieces. I was reading today in Genesis chapter number 6, a friend, when God sent the flood, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The earth was filled with violence and all of that, and God destroyed it. In other words, this world come to the point to where it was no longer governable by man himself, and they had so deteriorated to the point that judgment, that was all that was left. Did you know we're headed in the same direction? Did you know that the United States, if Jesus doesn't come and time lasts, the United States, if we keep going in the trend that we're going in, will become almost ungovernable, and same way it is with the nations around the world, and we're just ripe for the judgment of God. Amen. It's exactly right. Adolf Hitler consulted the horoscopes in Nazi Germany. They created a federal commission for occultism. Winston Churchill, during World War II, he actually retained the services of a German occultist, Dr. Walter Stein, to keep him informed on what the astrologers were telling Hitler. A man by the name of Dietrich Eckart was one of the 7 founders of the Nazi Party, and he initiated Hitler into occultism. Eckart was the reigning high priest. Hitler was the promised Messiah whose coming the mediums had foretold. And one of the secret aims of the Nazi leaders was to impose a new world religion on mankind once the war was won. And in this religion, the swastika would replace the cross, Hitler would be the Messiah, and the demons would guide the destinies of mankind. I'm telling you, and all of that stuff in the 20th century began with the apostasy in Germany, with higher criticism in the 19th century. And America cannot abandon God, and America cannot abandon this Bible and the principles and the truth that we were founded on, and it not affect us politically and nationally, just like it did Germany and other nations around the world. Amen. Amen. So there is a demonic influence in the area of worship. Turn with me to Revelation chapter number 9. There is a demonic influence, and I'm quickly bringing. There's a demonic influence in the area of wickedness. You say, well, man's always been wicked. Yeah, I know, but it's getting worse. You say, well, I can take you to the book of Genesis and show you every sin that's being committed today. I can show it to you in the book of Genesis. So in the early stages, man got into every sin that you can think of early then. But I can also show you that all the way through this Bible, that when societies plunged into those sins to the extent that they did, it brought the judgment of God. We all know what Romans chapter number 1 is all about. God bringing reprobation upon a society, upon people, because of them abandoning God. Amen. And then God still does that. Amen. That's what's wrong in America today. I think there's a lot of reprobation going on. That's tough, I know, but that's just the way it is, amen. Jesus said in Matthew 24, and hear me now, in Matthew 24, Jesus himself said, and because iniquity shall abound. Now, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, sin's going to get worse. The word abound means to increase. He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Matter of fact, I want you to turn to Matthew 24 and I'll show you that Jesus lays out the same three things that I'm telling you tonight from the book of Revelation. Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter, and he lays it out in this order. In Matthew chapter number 24, look in verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That's just what I just got through talking about that. Of the demonic powers in the influence when it comes to worship, to religion. But look what he said in verse number 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Not only would there be religious confusion in verse 4 and 5, but there would be moral compromise in verse number 12. And so today, I believe, Brother Ed, that there are demons that are assigned geographically to different parts of the country, to the world. I believe that there are demons that are assigned not only geographically, but I believe that they're assigned to certain aspects of society. There are demons over the drink. There's demons over drugs. There's demons over sex. And I believe it's the responsibility put upon those unseen powers to work and to influence society in those areas. And I think, friend, that we're seeing an intensification in all of this because we're in these last days. All right. Look at the third thing. I'm jumping the gun, but look in verse number 6 and 7 of Matthew 24. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Look what he said in verse 7. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So here's my 3-point outline tonight. Friend, this demonic activity in these last days, it's an intensification in an influence toward worship, in an influence toward wickedness, and in an influence toward war. And that's what Jesus said in these early verses in Matthew 24. It would all be that away. And we're coming to that. Look in Revelation chapter number 9 with me. Revelation chapter number 9. I'm telling you, neighbor, if you ain't saved, I'd be calling out on the Lord to save me. Amen. And if you ain't living right, you better get right, friend. You're going to get caught. You hear me well. Jesus is coming, thank God. Look what the Bible said in Revelation chapter 9. You've probably read this verse over and over and over and haven't thought much about it, but we're going to think about it for just a minute. I've got to hurry. Look what the Bible said in verse 20. And this is under the sixth trumpet judgment. The tribulations are really getting strong. A lot of judgment of God's being poured out. Look what the Bible said in verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship, see that? That they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Here's what I'm after. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Has it ever occurred to you what the sins of the tribulation period were going to be? We have it in our mind the Antichrist is ruling. There's going to be a wholesale judgment of God poured out on the world. And, you know, this, we have all that in our mind. But I want you to understand that in society, as people will continue to live their lives after the church is taken out, sinners will still be sinners, and the power of the devil is going to be unrestrained. Thank God for the restraining power of the Holy Ghost in the church today. But when he's going to be taken out, there'll be no restraint, and there'll be open spirit demonic forces, and the sins of the tribulation period are these. Murders. If you go back to the book of Genesis chapter number 6, listen, God said that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great upon the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts was only evil continually. And then he talked about the violence. There's no sin specified other than the violence in Genesis chapter number 6. And if you go to the book of Galatians, you check me out. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 or 6, where God's given the list of all those sins, and he said, but such were some of you. Thank God you got saved. Such were some of you. In that section, he starts that great list of sins with sexual sins. If you go to Galatians chapter number 5, now the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication. He starts all that great long list of sins with sexual sins. But here in Revelation 9, it's almost like an odd place. Other times when there's multiple sins listed, they always start with the sexual sins. But in this text, he said, neither repented they of their murders. What he's talking about is the intensification of violence. We're in America, we're just about this short of having open war in our country. Our nation, our society, the tension is building. I'm telling you this, the politically, the conservatives, the liberals, and on and on and on. This tension is building. It's like a balloon that just keeps taking on air. It's getting tighter and tighter, and at some point, she's going to pop. Neither repented they of their murderers, nor of their sorcerers. And this Greek word pharmakia is the word that we get our word pharmacy from. And the word sorceress here is implying the drugs and the potions that are associated with the occult. And there's always been an association with drugs and the spirit world. And right now, friend, drug use is at an all-time high. Drugs are coming across the border at an all-time high. There's a great increase. Why does everybody want to legalize all the drugs? I'll tell you why. Because of the demonic forces and power that is associated with that. Amen. The occultism is associated with the drug use.
Yes, right.
We're in the last days. I hope you understand that. Very quickly, turn to Revelation 16 and I'll be done right here. So there's an increased demonic influence in the area of worship or religion. An influence to wickedness, to sins that are being committed. And then lastly, there's an influence to war. That's right, war. Look in Revelation 16 and verse number 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water there. This is at the end of the tribulation period. Now this seven-year period just about over with. This winding it down. And the sixth angel, these vial judgments are the very last ones. He poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters there were dried up, that the way of the kings of the east. When we say kings of the east, it's hard not to imagine China. It's hard not to imagine some of those other nations east of the city of Jerusalem, east of Israel. And he said in verse 3, watch there, here's what I'm after. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's the devil, out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist, out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are spirits of devils. Doing what? Working miracles. Surely not. Yeah. Working miracles. Which go forth where? Unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day, God Almighty. So the demonic forces in that tribulation period will go to the kings of the world, and they'll work their miracles, they'll work their deceptive ideas and concepts. And listen, the reason that they're going to go to war, they're going to have political reasons, they're going to have economic reasons, they're going to have geographical reasons, they're going to have all the reasons that kings go to war with kings. They're going to have all those reasons laid out on the table, but what they will not realize is that behind the scene, even unseen to them, are the demonic powers and the forces that are leading their counselors, their cabinet, their advisors, they're all the people that are in charge, and it'll be demonic power that's involved in that. When these politicians have these closed door sessions, they can't close out the demonic power, neither can they close out God, amen, either. So, an influence to worship, to wickedness, and to war. But I've got good news for you. We are on the winning side. Amen. Thank God. The Bible's still true. Greater. I said, greater is he that liveth in you than he that's in the world. Amen. God lives in us, and we belong to him, and we're in his hand. Amen. We're no match for the devil. I'm no match for even the little, what my mentor used to say. He said, the devil's too important to bother me. He sends a water boy demon to afflict me, just a little water boy demon. I'm no match for a water boy demon, but I know one that is, thank God. And I'm telling you, neighbor, in spite of a society that is filled with demonic power and forces, I want you to know tonight that you can live right, amen, in 2022. And you can serve God, and you can support your church, and we can live victorious till Jesus comes, amen. Do right, live right. It was old Bob Jones Sr. used to say, he'd say, do right, even if the stars fall from the sky, do right, amen. Just keep on living for God, amen. And that, listen, the trumpet's going to sound one of these days, and we're going out of here, and when that tribulation period's over, thank God Jesus is coming back riding that white horse, and he's going to get victory once and for all. Thank God. But these are the days that we're living in. There's more to it than man. There's more to it than politics. There's more to it than trends. There's more to it than habits and fads and everything else. We're involved in spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter number 6, we need to put on that whole armor. May the Lord bless. Let's stand. I'm going to lead us in prayer and turn the service back over to the pastor. Father, I thank you for your word. I trust, dear God, I know my thoughts were scattered, but I pray, God, that it's been a help and a little encouragement and an enlightenment to the people. Help us to understand the times that we're living in and to know what we need to do to live right and to be right. We sure love you, and thank you for loving us. Thank you for victory. Jesus defeated the devil, laid the basis and the groundwork for our defeat over him as well. And we praise you and thank you for the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Man.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Allison. What a great message to begin the evening with. It kind of warns us of the days that we're living in and the times. That is, we really be careful. When you start feeling being led away from the things of God, and all of a sudden your life takes a turn when there's less God and there's less His Word, there's less Bible, there's less prayer, that's not God's will. That's somebody else leading you. When your life consists of less church and less walking with God, that's not the Spirit of God moving in your life and leading your life. Mark it down. It's what he's preached tonight. It's seducing devils and spirits, moving God's people away from the things of God. Not only, and by the way, that's not just to affect you, but the next generation. The next generation. That's my heart tonight, is what about the next generation? What are our grandkids going to do? And so I really caution you tonight about the following these seducing spirits and letting them get into your ears and talk. You know, I've got family and friends that, you know, we used to be right here, you know, we'd have week-long revivals and get involved in that. And I told a friend of mine about a week-long revival this week. He goes, oh, it's a marathon. That's a marathon revival. You know, and that's just how we look at things. You know, we want less of godliness, and less of things of God. And I guess I'm at the point in my life where I just want more. I want more. And thank you, Brother Allison.